The Kite Runner, Excerpt 1, by Khaled Hosseini. The streets glistened with fresh snow, and the sky was a blameless blue. Snow blanketed every rooftop and weighed on the branches of the stunted mulberry trees that lined our street. Overnight, snow had nudged its way into every crack and gutter. I squinted against the blinding white when Hassan and I stepped through the wrought iron gates. I had never seen so many people on our street. Kids were flinging snowballs, squabbling, chasing one another, and giggling. Kite fighters were huddling with their spool holders, making last-minute preparations. From adjacent streets, I could hear laughter and chatter. Already, rooftops were jammed with spectators reclining in lawn chairs, hot tea steaming from thermoses, and the music of Ahmad Zahir blaring from cassette players. I turned my gaze to our rooftop, found Baba and Rahim Khan sitting on a bench, both dressed in wool sweaters, sipping tea. "We should get started," Hassan said. He wore black rubber snow boots and a bright green chapan over a thick sweater and faded corduroy pants. "Let's do it," I said. Hassan's face brightened. "Good," he said. He lifted our kite, red with yellow borders. He licked his finger and held it up, tested the wind, then ran in its direction. The spool rolled in my hands until Hassan stopped about 50 feet away. He held the kite high over his head, like an Olympic athlete showing his gold medal. I jerked the string twice, our usual signal, and Hassan tossed the kite. Within a minute, my kite was rocketing to the sky. It made a sound like a paper bird flapping its wings. Hassan clapped his hands, whistled, and ran back to me. I handed him the spool, holding on to the string, and he spun it quickly to roll the loose string back on. At least 2 dozen kites already hung in the sky, like paper sharks roaming for prey. Within an hour, the number doubled, and red, blue, and yellow kites glided and spun in the sky. A cool breeze wafted through my hair. The wind was perfect for kite flying, blowing just hard enough to give some lift, make the sweeps easier. Next to me, Hassan held the spool, his hands already bloodied by the string. Soon, the cutting started, and the first of the defeated kites whirled out of control. They fell from the sky like shooting stars with brilliant, rippling tails, showering the neighborhoods below with prizes for the kite runners. I could hear the runners now, hollering as they ran the streets. I kept stealing glances at Baba, sitting with Rahim Khan on the roof, and wondered what he was thinking. Was he cheering for me? That was the thing about kite flying. Your mind drifted with the kite. They were coming down all over the place now, the kites, and I was still flying. My eyes kept wandering over to Baba, bundled up in his wool coat. Was he surprised that I had lasted as long as I had? I snapped my gaze back to the sky. A red kite was closing in on me. I'd caught it just in time. I tangled a bit with it, ended up besting him when he became impatient and tried to cut me from below. Up and down the streets, kite runners were returning triumphantly, their captured kites held high. They showed them off to their parents, their friends. But they all knew the best was yet to come. The biggest prize of all was still flying. I sliced a bright yellow kite with a coiled white tail. It cost me another gash on the index finger and blood trickled down into my palm. I had Hassan hold the string and sucked the blood dry, blotted my fingers against my jeans. Within another hour, the number of surviving kites dwindled from maybe 50 to a dozen. I was one of them. I had made it to the last dozen. I knew this part of the tournament would take a while because the guys who had lasted this long were good. They wouldn't easily fall into simple traps like the old lift and dive, Hassan's favorite trick. By 3 o'clock that afternoon, tufts of clouds had drifted in and the sun had slipped behind them. Shadows started to lengthen. The spectators on the roofs bundled up in scarves and thick coats. We were down to a half dozen, and I was still flying. My legs ached and my neck was stiff. But with each defeated kite, hope grew in my heart, like snow collecting on a wall, one flake at a time. After another 30 minutes, only 4 kites remained, and I was still flying. It seemed I could hardly make a wrong move, as if every gust of wind blew in my favor. I'd never felt so in command, so lucky. It felt intoxicating. I didn't dare look up to the roof. I didn't dare take my eyes off the sky. I had to concentrate, play it smart. Another 15 minutes, it was just me and the other guy. The blue kite. The tension in the air was as taut as the glass string I was tugging with my bloody hands. People were stomping their feet, clapping, whistling, chanting, "Cut him! Cut him!" I wondered if Baba's voice was one of them. But all I heard, all I willed myself to hear, was the thudding of blood in my head. All I saw was the blue kite. All I smelled was victory. I didn't know what the other guy was playing for, maybe just bragging rights. But this was my one chance to become someone who was looked at, not seen, listened to, not heard. It turned out to be sooner than later. A gust of wind lifted my kite and I took advantage. I fed the string, pulled up, looped my kite on top of the blue one. I held position. The blue kite knew it was in trouble. It was trying desperately to maneuver out of the jam, but I didn't let go. I held position. The crowd sensed the end was at hand. The chorus of "Cut him! Cut him!" grew louder, like Romans chanting for the gladiators to kill, kill. "You're almost there, Amiaga! Almost there!" Hassan was panting. Then the moment came. I closed my eyes and loosened my grip on the string. It sliced my fingers again as the wind dragged it. And then, I didn't need to hear the crowd's roar to know. I didn't need to see either. Hassan was screaming and his arm was wrapped around my neck. "Bravo, bravo, Amir Aga." I opened my eyes, saw the blue kite spinning wildly like a tire come loose from a speeding car. I blinked, tried to say something, but nothing came out. Suddenly, I was hovering, looking down on myself from above. Black leather coat, red scarf, faded jeans, a thin boy, a little sallow, and a tad short for his 12 years. He had narrow shoulders and a hint of dark circles around his pale hazel eyes. The breeze rustled his light brown hair. He looked up to me, and we smiled at each other. Then I was screaming, and everything was color and sound, and everything was alive and good. I was throwing my free arm around Hassan, and we were hopping up and down, both of us laughing, both of us weeping. "You won, Amir Aga! You won!" "We won! We won!" was all I could say. This wasn't happening. Then I saw Baba on our roof. He was standing on the edge, pumping both of his fists, hollering and clapping. And that right there was the single greatest moment of my 12 years of life, seeing Baba on that roof, proud of me at last. But he was doing something now, motioning with his hands in an urgent way. Then I understood. "Hassan, we..." "I know," he said, breaking our embrace. "We'll celebrate later. Right now, I'm going to run that blue kite for you." He dropped the spool and took off running, the hem of his green chapan dragging in the snow behind him. "Hassan," I called, "come back with it." He was already turning the street corner, his rubber boots kicking up snow. He stopped and turned. He cupped his hands around his mouth. "For you, 1,000 times over," he said. Then he smiled his Hassan smile and disappeared around the corner.